Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in central Iowa. It's good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and word of mouth. Thank you for listening. Mike Metz is away this Friday, yet engineer Mike Murphy is here. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour. And because we are the heart of Iowa, Anna Magnuson, a.k.a. Anna Banana, will be here with her heart-to-heart messages from KHOI. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Anna, big news today. The Decorah Eagle Cam has shown that yesterday an eaglet hatched, and possibly the second today or tomorrow. What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty exciting, and I love it.
Yeah. Well, it is the nest that's to the north. It's not the famous pair. They relocated this spring. Hopefully that camera will be installed for next year at this time. But we got to see it. The bald eagle population has quadrupled since it was declared no longer endangered in 2007. Population was estimated at over 300,000 from the Midwinter Bald Eagle Survey this year. In 1964, the population of 419 nesting pairs of eagles in the lower 48 states. And last year, there were over 400 nesting pairs in Iowa alone. And whenever you see an eagle, it is so uplifting. I think they want us to do more for conservation. And we want more of these birds flying from this generation to the next forever. And you can watch the Decorah Eagles at raptorresourceproject.org, Anna.
I am going to check that out. That's something to do this weekend. And you know, a fun fact that I learned about bald eagles?
What's that?
Hear? They really aren't bald.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes they have a comb over, but they really work at not being bald. Only Anna can see me rubbing my shiny little forehead now. Anyway, hey, the weather will be partly sunny today after some welcome spring rains with possible more showers tonight and tomorrow. There's a big warming trend with sun and 60s on sunny Sunday. And high of 71 on Monday. Nighttime highs will be in the 30s and 40s next week. I don't think we're going to have any more freezing, but you never know. But now let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news for this week from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
The coronavirus continued making big news on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week, but it was not the only major story to break through. Let's start with last Friday's trip, which reported that Iowa State University had announced that it had hired T.J. Otzelberger as the new men's basketball coach, replacing Steve Prohm, who was fired after this season's 2-win and 22-loss record. Otzelberger had spent the past 2 years as head coach at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Before that, he was head coach at South Dakota State, and before that, he was an assistant and associate coach at ISU. Now for the coronavirus. Last Friday's paper reported that 12 new cases of the virus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 9,805 since the pandemic started. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 3.4%. There was also word that residents of an assisted living community in Ames had celebrated St. Patrick's Day in style, and they were able to do so because all of the residents there had received both doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine. And so a year of strict coronavirus safety measures had been lifted, and life at the facility is on the way to getting back to normal. And the Trib reported that a new quilting business had opened in Boone. Its name is High Bridge Quilting, in tributes to Boone's railway history, and it's at 719 Story Street. It specializes in long-arm quilting, custom quilting, pillow and showcase orders, and offers fabric and supplies. Saturday's paper reported that 16 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 9,821. The county's 14-day positivity rate stayed at 3.4%. The Trib also reported that Iowa had reached a milestone, that not one nursing home in the state was reporting an active outbreak of the virus. Nursing home residents make up nearly 40% of the more than 5,600 Iowans who have been killed by the virus, despite making up less than 1% of the state's population. Nursing home residents, along with health care providers, were the top priority for immunization after the coronavirus vaccine arrived in Iowa in December. More than 80% of nursing home residents and 60% of staff members there have been vaccinated. The Trib also had word that the Federal Centers for Disease Control had relaxed some coronavirus guidelines, saying that students can safely sit just 3 feet apart in classrooms as long as they wear masks. But the CDC also said that students should still stay 6 feet apart at sports events, assemblies, lunches, or chorus practices. Saturday's Trib also reported that the Iowa State Senate had unanimously passed legislation to scrap the state's inheritance tax and to phase in planned income tax cuts more quickly. The bill went to the Iowa House for consideration. And there was word that Iowa farmers who had disked under thousands of acres of corn flattened in last summer's derecho windstorm could soon get access to plants that prove more resistant to the hurricane-force winds. This comes after reports that fields of so-called short-stature corn at 18 Iowa test sites within the path of the derecho had suffered comparatively little damage in the storm last August 10th. Iowa farmers were unable to harvest an estimated 850,000 acres of corn last year after the powerful storm swept eastward across the middle of the state. So-called short-stature corn is about 7 to 7.5 feet tall. Iowa corn often grows up to 12 feet high. Sunday's Trib brought word on how Iowa State University plans to get back to normal next fall after more than a year of restrictions caused by the coronavirus. Among other things, the university hopes to have full classrooms and dining halls, freshman orientation, and more. Social distancing likely will not be required inside classrooms. Coronavirus testing on campus will continue in the fall. At the University of Iowa, plans are to hold classes in buildings that meet the Federal Centers for Disease Control's guidelines for ventilation. That means some lecture sections with more than 150 students may be moved online. But faculty will not be required to offer an online option for an in-person course. And other academic activities, including office hours, thesis and dissertation defenses, conferences, seminars, and staff meetings, may continue to be held virtually. And at the University of Northern Iowa, the plan is to hold in-person classes next fall. In addition, dining operations will return to normal, and numerous on-campus events will return. And the Trib reported that Ames is being honored for its efforts to make the South Skunk River a community asset. Iowa River Revival, which is a statewide nonprofit formed to educate the public and advocate for Iowa's waterways, has named Ames its River Town of the Year. That award recognizes city's efforts to enhance connections to its rivers. Tuesday's Trib reported that Des Moines police had arrested a man wanted in connection with the death of a woman who had been killed inside her Ames apartment last month. Police arrested 33-year-old Richard George Fleck while they were investigating an assault on the east side of Des Moines. He was wanted for first-degree murder charges in connection with the death of his girlfriend, Renee Bell. The 37-year-old Bell was found dead when police performed a welfare check at her Ames apartment. She had died of blunt force trauma. The Trib also reported that 25 more coronavirus cases had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 9,846 since the pandemic started. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 3.4%. Meanwhile, 24 more cases of the coronavirus were confirmed in the Iowa State University community for the week that ended last Sunday. That includes 15 students and 9 faculty and staff members. And the Trib also had word on the number of new coronavirus cases in area school districts. The Ames School District reported that after having spring break last week, fewer than 6 students had tested positive for the virus in the preschool or elementary schools, and no students had tested positive in the middle school or high school. In the Gilbert and Roland Story School Districts, no students were said to have tested positive, and there were no reports from the Ballard or Nevada School Districts. There was also word that 2/3 of Iowa adults planned to be vaccinated against the coronavirus, or already had been. 27% of the state's adults said they do not plan to seek the shots. Included in that group, 41% of Republicans said they will not get the vaccines, compared to 8% of Democrats. And in a coronavirus-related story, the Trib's website reported that the Krispy Kreme donut people are providing a sweet incentive to encourage more people to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. That incentive: free donuts through the end of this year. Starting this past Monday, consumers who showed a valid coronavirus vaccination card at Krispy Kreme sites across the nation would get a free original glazed donut any time, any day, every day, for the rest of the year. No purchase will be necessary. Wednesday's paper reported that 18 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 9,864. And kept the county's 14-day positivity rate at 3.4%. The Trib also reported that the Ames School District would continue having a remote learning option for students during the next school year, no matter what happens with the coronavirus pandemic. District Superintendent Jenny Reisner said that schools have learned that some students have the most success through remote learning. And there was word that some local activists had asked for the removal of resource officers from schools in the Ames School District during a district board meeting Monday night. This after the board had received information about a disproportionate number of interactions between resource officers and Black or African American students, students who qualify for free or reduced price meals, English language learner students, and homeless students. School Superintendent Jenny Reisner said more discussion about the data would be on the board's agenda this coming week. The Trib also reported that the Story County Board of Supervisors had approved the 2021-2022 budget, which includes the lowest tax rate in the county in 20 years. The budget includes about $49 million in revenue, down from $50 million this budget year, and about $51 million in expenditures, compared to $57 million this year. Thursday's Trib, yesterday's, reported that two inmates at the Anamosa State Penitentiary had killed a nurse and a correctional officer at the prison in a failed effort to escape. The victims were identified as 50-year-old staff nurse Lorena Schulte and 46-year-old correctional officer Robert McFarland. Both died from blunt force trauma. The Trib also reported that 24 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 9,888. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 3.7%. The Trib also reported on this week's Ames City Council meeting. Mayor John Hala talked about recent mass shootings in Georgia and Colorado. He said, in his words, "It's a sobering situation around the country. We're not so naive to think that it couldn't happen anywhere in America." At that same meeting, the council voted unanimously to reapprove the demolition of a 91-year-old Iowa State University sorority house. The council had previously approved the demolition of the Kappa Kappa Gamma house 2 years ago, but the house was never torn down, and the Ames sorority is applying for a new development loan. The new Kappa Kappa Gamma house will accommodate 61 members. And the Trib reported that a new Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa poll showed that state residents were split over whether tenure at Iowa State University, the University of Iowa, and the University of Northern Iowa should be eliminated. 39% of Iowa adults said they opposed the elimination of tenure. 36% said they favor the idea. And that is your summary of another consequential week of news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, heading out for the weekend now, but planning to head right back into this same virtual seat on Monday, when I'll have word on what's been making news around Iowa. Between now and then, I hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News. And the music interlude was Chiricahua Don by John John Stravers with the band Big Blue Sky. So now we're going to welcome Chris Adkins. He's the naturalist with the Dallas County Conservation Board. With each passing season, Chris hosts a fire at the equinox or solstice gatherings at Hanging Rock, just outside Redfield, Iowa, about an hour's drive southwest of Ames. The equinox was last Saturday, March 21st. When I say Chris hosts a fire, part of that experience is watching him bring fire to life in the ancient means of using a 12-inch rod or spindle, a bow with a loose cord that he wraps around the spindle, and a stone to apply pressure down upon that spindle, and a fire board that creates a pocket where his tinder of shredded cattail and milkweed down creates a coal. And it's a fascinating experience and an activity to enjoy. So here's Chris to share his act of creating fire.
So a long time ago, Pat, I was gifted by some elders. I've always been a pyromaniac. And then looking into more traditional views of fire and ways of starting fires, I've been interested in looking at how fires have engaged humans and how long we've been purposely making fires and the notion of a sacred fire. And so here at the Equinox, we usually will have a fire to celebrate the shortest day, the longest day, the today, the equal day. And so we'll use a bow drill and use that old tradition and that method of bringing the voices. What is so interesting to me is the idea that you're bringing the voices of the trees of your place together with your spindle and your fireboard, and then the stones that are involved, the other plant beings that are part of your tinder that bring in. But the really important thing to me is that it also teaches you that humans are not outside of this circle and observers. Humans are part of this fire. The last piece that has to be brought together to bring life to a fire is the encouragement and breath of a human. And so to be able to blow that fire up then and create that fire, and then the teachings that I've had is you never start a fire unless it has a purpose. And today's purpose was to celebrate this day with friends gathered here on in this place. So
please describe the spindle. You mentioned the different implements, starting with the fireboard.
So yeah, so obviously fireboard, it kind of tells you what's going on, and it's fun to hand somebody that when they aren't familiar with it and say, what do you think this is? And it has black circles in it in a depression, a socket it's called, and then there's like an eighth of a pie wedge that's cut out of that, and they'll look at it and I'll say, use all your senses, and they'll smell it and they'll say, well, it smells like this has been on fire. Well, it's that old adage of, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. So if it looks like fire and smells like fire, yeah, that's fire. So the fireboard, the first elder that introduced me to being able to make a fire in this tradition, had me using two different trees that I found out now of the fireboard, and then its cohort, the spindle, which is like a big pencil, as it were. The woods he was having me work with make you work really hard, and there's a reason that I was not being successful, and I think it was done purposely by this elder to humble me and to make me think and explore. So in my fire, the fireboard is basswood, and so is the spindle. And so what's going on here is, you know, Western science tells us that energy can't be created or destroyed, but it can change form. And what's going on in this case is you're turning kinetic energy, the energy of motion that's generated by the individual then that has the bow that makes the spindle dance in the socket. As it spins around, if you talk to a Western scientist, they'd say coefficient of friction, and you know, if there's enough energy here, you're not creating it, you're converting your kinetic energy into this energy of heat. And what happens then is it gets hot enough that you start to get a very fine powder in the interface between the spinning of the spindle and the socket that it's spinning in, and it makes this black powder char. It's the magic. And the reason you have the pie, the eighth of a pie cut in your socket, is so that every time the spindle passes around that, the char falls into that socket onto your tinder. And so as you heat up that char, it gets to a point where it's going to be enough heat there that you can then bring it into a source of heat that will ignite your tinder. So those are the components. The other thing is, at the top of your spindle, you have to hold it and control it. And in my fire kit, that's a stone that is actually an artifact. It was a gift from my daughter floating the Raccoon River. She found it and handed it to me and said, hey, Pop, here's a stone with a hole in it. That'll work good for your palm stone. And when I put it in my hand, it was one of those times where you have that epiphany that this fits in my hand. There is a thumb hold, and it fits perfectly in your hand. So I am absolutely sure that this was someone else's palm stone in this river valley before me. Their hand was of similar size of mine, and they were right-handed, because that's a palm stone. To hold that with your left hand, your right hand then being the energy maker, the kinetic energy to make this dance. And so you bring all those things together, it reminds us that humans are part of that circle. You step in, and if you've at, so you have all those components you bring together. The other thing the elder taught me was be humble enough that each time you do this, you have to ask the fire if it wants to be part of today's story. And so I have forgotten to do that on occasion when you get harried and you're trying to work with a group of people and you don't get a fire and you're charred, you can't blow it up into a flame, and then you all of a sudden realize, oh, I forgot, I didn't ask if this fire wanted to be part of it. And so it brings all those voices together, including humans, and it gives us a fire, which has been an important interface with humans with the environment. Today it was a fire started to celebrate the equinox sunrise this morning with the friends that gathered here on our astronomical clock at Hanging Rock. And it allowed us then to also tie into our big tree story that you and I have talked about. We invited the public to bring offerings of elders' trees that they had lost in the derecho, to bring a piece of bark, a branch, a leaf, and that we would offer those up in a ceremony this morning along with some prayer ties. And so that fire had multiple purposes, and it brought this circle of friends together. Hey, you, Pat, it's a gift to have you here.
Let's back up a little bit. You mentioned that there's friction, and then all of a sudden there's a trace of smoke.
So it's kind of the old lesson. I know you're a craftsman with wood, and whoever taught you how to use a saw, I'm sure they encouraged you to, Pat, there are all those teeth are on that saw for a reason. The draw of your saw, you know, you see so many people that are and they're not using the saw. So I first encourage, I invite a man and woman to be, to bring together the energies of both of those circles to help run the bow. And so this morning was Mary Lee on one side and Mike on the other, Mike Hovlick, on our a naturalist here at Dallas County. And so we've melded those two important circles together, and the instruction is, first you have to understand this is a dance of unison, of reciprocity. You don't ever push, you only pull, and then your partner pulls you back across. Use the entire length of that bowstring, get as much dance spinning of that spindle as possible, and start out and learn your relationship. So that's what you watch with the two bow masters that are working with you, and they quickly learn to work with one another today. And so, okay, you're getting your groove down, you're learning how to dance. Now, you know, again, if it looks like a duck, smells like a duck, if there's smoke, there's fire. Not always. You can get smoke with your spindle and not get a fire. So as they're doing that, you say, see, you're doing it right, we've got smoke. But now, to get to the ignition point, we need more energy. So that means more kinetic energy being converted to heat. And so pick up your pace, and so they bow faster and more rapidly, and what they don't realize is I'm changing the pressure on top of that spindle, pushing it down, so a lot of forces are coming together, and now it's the interaction between the spindle and the fireboard, and if you watch, there's a texture of your char that you're watching for, and if you're pushing too hard, you're going to get a different type of char if you're not pushing hard enough. So it's that balance of that. Two wonderful dancers this morning bowed it up wonderfully. We get about a jelly bean sized piece of char. So you stop, knock it out of the notch. It falls into your tinder, which is a lot of the inner bark of cedar, cattails, milkweeds. So again, you're bringing all these voices together of things that are incendiary, that if you put heat near them, definition of tinder, they're going to go into flame. But again, the important part is bring a human into this story. So Mark Edwards, a friend that's of the station and yours and mine, I invited him to, you come down and breathe life into this flame. And so as he blows on it, that oxygen and, in my opinion, his spirit starts to nourish and encourage that flame, that fire, to come into being. And if we've done everything right, your prayers are answered, and it ignites your tinder. What's always been fun for me, Pat, is I'm holding that tinder in my hand. It's going to be on fire, but I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at Mark's face, because his face will always tell me when we've got a flame. because the minute that comes to life, I don't care if it's a grizzled old soul like Mark or it's a second grader that you're working with, they get this great big grin on their face, because I think it's at that point where that fire jumps into them and they jump into it.
Breath of life.
Exactly. And so I saw that smile on Mark's face this morning. I thought, I bet the tinder's on fire. And sure enough, it was. We put it into the makings of a fire that we've created, and we started a fire with the rising of soul. So the symbolism there is not to be missed. That fire starting and beginning of this time of changing of seasons, and this fire coming together, that's an old tradition on equinoxes that we're honoring here.
You'll carry that through to the next fire at the summer solstice.
There will be, hopefully, if we live right, we'll be here together again, brother.
Is there anything else, Chris?
No, I would just encourage people, if you've got a connection to fire, it's amazing the depth of connection. It can walk you back into your landscape. So I'd encourage you to find an elder and see if they can help you harvest the pieces that you need to build a bow drill, because I will never forget the first time I successfully asked a fire to be here and was able to bring one. And it is a way of connecting to your world that there aren't too many other passages like that. So it's magical. And if you are a person of fire, I'd encourage you to look at that. The story will keep leading you. There's no end to that story.
And it's a great story. What were the seven fires?
So many of your listeners may have heard of Robin Kimmerer, who has written a book. The one that was the first with me was Braiding Sweetgrass, and she's authored several others now. But in it, she tells of the tradition of her peoples that their history was a progression of seven fires, each of those fires being a place and time in their history. So it started on the East Coast and then moved west with their being displaced. But they're in their traditional way of knowing, the seventh fire is one where there is a fungus that they used, and I don't think it grows here. I've never been able to locate it, but the term for it is Shikitigan. And it had the right texture and composition that if you had to carry a fire from one gathering to another, you could put that coal in that fungus and it was like a black ball and you could carry fire. And so you didn't have to bow up a fire all the time.
Didn't have matches.
And so you could not have to bow it every time. You could move a fire and keep it. And so that's what that name means, is keeper of the fire. And in her writing, she talks about how in this time of the seventh fire, there will be people who are the keepers of the fire. And luckily, there were a number of them like you that are at this circle today that are keepers of the fire. And that what they're doing at this time of the seventh fire is walking back down that trail of those previous six fires and remembering traditions and ceremonies. They're picking up the pieces of those stories that are still there. They haven't been lost. Native people are still here, and their stories are still here. And they're gathering them so that they can bring them to this seventh fire to help people to decide. We are at a point of choice, and one choice is to remember our relationship to the earth, our reciprocity with it, its gifts and what we give it back. And if we will follow that path, there is a bright new future of hope in front of us. The other path, if we ignore that, is a path of literally charred earth, which sounds very familiar to what our climate scientists are telling us about what our future could be. So it is not a done deal. We are at a point of decision, and that's what gives me hope. We can see how challenged the future looks and how bleak it may look, but we also need to know we have a decision, and we can choose a different future if we attend to those keepers of the fire that have the wisdom and that are bringing those stories forward to help us understand the decision we need to make. So you can see how this story of fire just keeps carrying you further and further out. When I started this story of fire with me some 35 years ago, Pat, I had no idea who Robin was and her stories. And now I'm here 35 years later. I'm sharing fires with people, and we're talking about that story that she brought. And it's also made me realize I have been gifted to have friends like you who are those fire keepers, the elders who have helped us to remember and are helping us to make that good decision as we move forward.
And a very wise Ahunktuan elder once said, Pat, you got to pay attention.
Oh, brother.
Thank you, Chris Atkins, naturalist with the Dallas County Conservation Board. I always like the way Chris uses voices as a noun that includes the different components or implements to a conversation. And then tying it all together with our human additions in a good way. Quite a story that he's got ongoing there in Dallas County. So let's take a music break, and we'll have more local talk to come. And you're listening to KHOY Community Radio. I'm your host this hour, Pat Schlarbaum, on Local Talk. And let's welcome Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, and her guest today. Hi, Kaylee. Welcome, Susan and Kaylee Barrios Lane.
Hi, it's good to be here. This Friday, I thought it would be fun to bring Kaylee on board to talk a little bit about things that are happening in electric services. Kaylee's been our energy services coordinator for, as she reminded me before, going on 2 years, and has packed a lot into those 2 years. We have a community solar project that has gotten off the ground. We are celebrating the 125th anniversary of public power in Ames. And wow. Kaylee has done a lot of work on revamping our web and looking at our rebate programs and expanding and updating those. So I will just let her share all the good news she has.
Hi, Kaylee. Before we get started, I'm really curious, in your research, 125 years, was there a physical plant that created energy, or was it electricity, or was it natural gas?
It started as a plant just for the lights on Main Street.
Okay.
And I believe, Susan, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the Ames Historical Society has found some interesting history about the beginning of the power plant. Is that correct?
Yeah.
They have. It's the 125th anniversary of the vote to publicly fund a public power plant. And it was the first vote that women in Ames were allowed to vote at.
Okay. There's a natural, of course, 1920. My goodness. Well, you've got interesting topics today. I love the outreach experiences.
Fun outreach experiences lately. Speaking with graduate students who are interested in careers in sustainability in the energy industry, and with middle schoolers. So kind of on two ends of the spectrum in terms of their progress on their path to a career. But it has been fun to just kind of remember why we work in this field. And it's fun to also share with other kids who are looking toward a career in energy, to share with them how great it is to work with a municipal electric utility. It really is a fun place to work, where the people who are providing your electricity are your neighbors, and the people who are coming to fix things when they break, they're people you know, people you might see in the community, and they're people who are also fixing things for themselves. So we're working to make our community a better place. And that's a really fun thing for me. And sustainability in general, anywhere that you're working in sustainability, it's an amazing time to be working in sustainability for a lot of reasons. obviously we're seeing a lot of changes, and we're seeing changes that are being pushed whether we like it or not. So it's one of those advantages that we can kind of ride as professionals working in the energy industry. We're seeing things that have to change one way or another. And so we can choose to be the architects of that change to build a more sustainable and reliable energy system.
And that includes the solar field.
Yes, that includes the solar farm. We've got the SunSmart Ames Community Solar Farm. It is up and running. Participants are receiving their bill credits on their utility bills. If you haven't yet, I would recommend that you go to our website at cityofames.org/solar. And right at the top of the community solar page, there's a link that will take you right to the real-time output of the farm. So at any point in time, you can log in there, and whether it's in the middle of the night or in the middle of the afternoon, you can see how much the farm is producing. So that's kind of fun.
Absolutely. And cutting edge. Are the students involved with Link, or are you bringing the students along with that new farm?
We've definitely offered that data and that resource to students, just like it's available to the rest of the community. I haven't heard feedback yet about if they've created any projects surrounding having availability of that data. But yes, it's available to students as well.
Well, what are some of the other outreach experiences that you're involved with, Kaylee?
Sure. So we're working with Iowa State University and a number of other project partners, including the Iowa National Guard and Sun Crate and Power Film. So they've all worked together to build a solar crate, and you might have seen it.
Yeah.
It's right next to the power plant by Banshell Park, and it's basically a shipping crate full of batteries and a whole bunch of electronics with solar panels on top. And we've put a car charger, an electric vehicle charger, on the outside of that crate. So if you have an electric vehicle, you can go plug in and charge up for free. It's a level 2 charger, and they actually are looking for more people to go charge because they're having a hard time getting enough data. So they want more and more people to use it in any way that they see necessary so that they can see how the community chooses to use this technology.
Well, there's a couple things that come to mind. What a utilitarian source. I'm sure it was highly cherished during the derecho. Do you have a number of how many people do have electric cars that are going? Does it have a way of monitoring each visit by an electric car?
Yes. So we can monitor how many cars have charged at the station. So far, it's been mostly our vehicle. So get the news out, tell your friends with electric vehicles that they can charge for free at the level 2 charger at the solar crate near the power plant.
Okay. I'll put that in the website or in the the show's description also. As you say, pretty heady, pretty exciting times. And yet, are there other things that come to mind when we get into this carbon footprint that essentially you're a woman of the times?
Sure. Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to everything that the Climate Action Plan, everything that we hope the Climate Plan will be bringing. And that, especially in the electric department, is going to give us an opportunity to look at a lot of different ways for us to reduce our carbon footprint. So one of the ways we do that is with renewable energy. We have this new solar farm, and we accept extra solar energy from our customers if they produce more than they can consume. And we also have a 36 megawatt contract of wind energy. And we also, as most of us know, burn refuse-derived fuel at the power plant. So we utilize our trash to generate energy. And we're looking at other ways to increase the percentage of renewables in our portfolio, but we're also looking at other ways to make our grid more reliable, to make our grid able to accept more renewable energy, because even though renewable energy is carbon free, it's great for our environment, it can be complicated sometimes in how we integrate it into our grid and how we support our grid services while using that renewable energy. So there are a lot of exciting projects around that.
Yeah. Susan, do you have any thing that I'm overlooking here?
Well, I think as Kaylee talked about, getting into climate action planning, a lot of it can be very big picture, kind of universal ideas or policies or concepts. I try to bring it down to the individual level. What can I, as a single person, do to reduce my carbon footprint? And, you know, those big, giant ideals, they're coming. But until they're here, can I return my glass to the glass recycling bins? Can I reduce the amount of food waste that I produce? And when I produce food waste, what can I do with
it?
That's an environmentally friendly result. Can I walk more than drive? Can I invest in an electric car rather than a large SUV or something? What can I do personally to make a difference? And I think it's such a huge concept that thinking about in a community or a state or a nation, what can they do? It's always they. I think you need to put the onus back on what can you do?
Yeah.
And then I think it makes more sense. I see a lot of us drinking coffee. None of us have takeout. we're all using our reusable cups. We don't encourage purchases of bottled water. We encourage refilling your water bottle. And I think there are a lot of individual decisions people can make every day that really would make a difference.
Yeah, I think the fact that the climate action plan is being vetted and exposure to it, and I think the citizens of Ames have a welcome opportunity to embrace what our city leaders are promoting. And it's time for a climate action plan. And it's just great to have this opportunity to share this. And there'll be more to share. Let's do a plug for our Environmental Day appreciation that's coming up April 24th. And so many of these topics will be fleshed around and discussed and celebrated.
Absolutely. We are so looking forward to the collaboration on Saturday, April 24th with KHOY to introduce people or to expand on their knowledge of City of Ames programs and services that involve sustainability, as well as KHOY bringing in countywide resources and experts. It will be an entire day filled with great environmental information. We're really looking forward to this and hoping it's the first of many years of collaboration.
Oh, it's a great opportunity to showcase all the wonderful programs that the City of Ames is promoting. And you're really a beacon to the world in many regards. And this climate action plan will be something a document that we'll be able to take from this generation to the next and the next forever. Anything else, Kaylee?
No, I think we've covered it all. Thank you for having me. And it's always fun to talk a little bit more about energy and sustainability, especially when we're talking about local action and things that all of us can get involved in and work on together.
Yeah, it's just a great program to be able to learn more and to share the exciting things that the City of Ames is offering everyone. I'm sure you're in a really good company when it comes to conferences. Of what Ames is promoting and attempting to do and putting a little brighter light on this planet. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Longer boats are coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis. Longer boats are coming to Ennis, hold on to the shore, or they'll be taking the key from the door. I don't want no God on my lawn, just a flower I can help along, cause the soul of nobody knows how a flower grows. That's how a flower grows. Longer boats are coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis. Longer boats are coming to Ennis, hold on to the shore, or they'll be taking the key from the door. Mary dropped her pants by the sand, let a parson come and take a hand. But the soul of nobody knows where the parson goes. Oh, oh, oh. Where does the parson go?
Well, is Anna Banana in the house?
I am. We're going from Ames to London with this Friday Heart to Heart message, where we get to welcome Carol Pluckrose.
Great, great. Hi, Carol. Yeah.
Hi, hi, Pat. Hi. Yeah. Nice to see you.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So just to remind the listener, Carol is the co-founder and artistic director of The Boathouse, which is an arts venue in England. And she's going to start our day and weekend with a heart-to-heart message and poem. And Carol, so what do you have for us today?
So I'm going to read one of the ones that I read two on last Sunday. But I think just because of time restraints, I'll just choose one. So last Sunday was a couple of days before we went into our first national lockdown in the UK. So it was the 23rd of March for us. It was a year. And so there was a lot of reflection going on. And in fact, on Tuesday, it was called a day of reflection. And people did all sorts of little rituals and lit candles. And people stood out on their doorsteps at 8 o'clock in the evening to pause for a moment. There was a minute's silence in the day to think of all the people that have lost their lives in the last year because of the pandemic. In the UK, that's 126,000, which is for a population of 60 million, it's a very large, it's one of the largest ratios in the world. And of course, it's almost, it's 2.7 million of people in the world. So huge numbers. And so last Sunday, in anticipation of the Day of Reflection, I chose two poems. One which was on the death of the beloved by a fabulous poet called John O'Donohue, which is very much about the person that has left the world. But the poem I'm going to share today is a poem from the person who might have left the world, back to those of us that are lucky enough to still be here and enjoying every day and being present to the moment, which I think this pandemic is teaching us all about what really matters, what those core values are in life. And I was just in a cab actually with a cab driver, and we both agreed that what an amazing time it is in terms of compassion and kindness for each other, and how important, and let's hope that the lessons learned from this will kind of shape the things that are our priorities going forward. So this poem is actually by a Canadian poet who comes from Edmonton in Canada, and it's called In Lieu of Flowers, and it's by Shauna LeMay, and I really like its simplicity. Although I love flowers very much, I won't see them when I'm gone. So, in lieu of flowers, buy a book of poetry written by someone still alive. Sit outside with a cup of tea, a glass of wine, and read it out loud. By yourself or to someone, or silently. Spend some time with a single flower, a rose maybe. Smell it, touch the petals, really look at it. Drink a nice bottle of wine with someone you love, or champagne, and think of what John Maynard Keynes said, "My only regret in life is that I did not drink more champagne." Or what Dom Perignon said when he first tasted the stuff. Come quickly, I am tasting stars. Take out a paint set and lay down some colours. Watch birds. Common sparrows are fine. Pigeons too. Geese are nice. Robins. In lieu of flowers, walk in the trees and watch the light fall into it. Eat an apple. A really nice big one. I hope it's crisp. Have a long soak in the bathtub with candles, and maybe some rose petals. Sit on the front stoop and watch the clouds. Have a dish of strawberry ice cream in my name. If it's winter, have a cup of hot chocolate outside for me. If it's summer, a big glass of iced water. If it's autumn, Collect some leaves and press them in a book you love. I'd like that. Sit and look out a window and write down what you see. Write some other things down in lieu of flowers. I would wish for you to flower. I would wish for you to blossom, to open, to be beautiful. Okay, so that's my choice for today.
I love that poem, Carol, so much. And so that poem is from Carol all the way from England. But Pat, do you mind if I give a heart-to-heart message from Iowa?
Please do, Anna Banana.
So this is dedicated to you, Miss Carol. So this is by a poet, John D. Thompson, who has written compiled poems to observe Iowa's 175th birthday. And so I like that poem. And I know last Sunday I saw you get that big apple, which I am a big fan of an apple, as a visual demonstration to taste all that life has to offer while we're here. So this is what I would offer to everyone out there as we start the weekend, because it's a poem called Well's Blue Bunny. And I'll let you know, Carol, what this means in a second. Blue Bunny hops home after frozen food fair. The scoop is judges dished him a ribbon, true hue of his hair. On topping of the world, he cones this town. He flavors the state. The rabbit is rich. Soft cotton tail is cream. What a warmful world when you're dipped foot lucky by the spoonful and sweet. And so that poem, again, is John D. Thompson's Iowa Poems 175, celebrating Iowa's 175th birthday. Now, Carol, that is not a poem about a bunny. So if you come to Iowa, we will treat you to big, huge tubs of Blue Bunny ice cream, which is absolutely delicious. So if we want to make it healthy, we can slice some apples in it, but we probably won't.
Blue Bunny, is it a vanilla ice cream? What is it?
They have all sorts of flavors. It's the brand of ice cream that we celebrate here in Iowa.
Happy anniversary to you all.
Yes, 175 years of being a state.
Yeah.
So, and Mike, do you know Blue Bunny ice cream?
Yeah, you've nailed it. It's a product out of Lamar's, Iowa, which is in our Lus Hills. And I think you're a poet when you mentioned Ottawa. So when you're in the Lus Hills, there's poetry, there's ice cream, and there's a very unique geographic landform area that Blue Bunny ice cream celebrates.
Ah, I have to do a Google on it and find out more.
Okay.
But what I also love, Carol, is that you talked about that cab driver, which made me homesick for London, because I can imagine being in the back of that cab. This is a time that has really allowed us to be more compassionate and kind, and I would say offers us an opportunity to connect, because now you're part of the KHOI family. You're part of the Heart to Heart Messages Poetry and Prose Edition. You're part of the Local Talk family. And you join Radio Social on Mondays. And so
sometimes.
But that wouldn't have happened before the pandemic. We wouldn't have imagined doing that. But now we get to spend time with each other and connect and know what's going across the pond.
Yeah. And I think we've got much better, haven't we, of being connected and talking a kind of authentic and natural way on Zoom now. As if we're actually in the same room. I was 6 hours rehearsing on Zoom the other day with my colleague, and afterwards it was as if we had really been in the same room for a whole day.
Yeah, that's nice to do that.
Yeah.
And you're a celebrant. I know that you're preparing today.
I've already been to a crematorium this morning. Yeah,
I'm doing 2 hours ahead. I forgot. I thought it was 7-8 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, I've got a funeral to conduct next week. So,
So Pat and Mike, I just would ask, as you think about Carol joining us every Friday, and she read her poem, what came to the surface, or thoughts about the weekend, and what our listeners should take into the weekend?
Well, I've often, whenever I listen to Carol's poetry, I found that her voice kind of takes me away. And again today, into areas of solace and quite frankly, very peaceful. And maybe it's from our topic earlier today of fire. She had me sitting right by a fire and near an apple tree. And And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a second apple tree this year because it's spring. And it dawned on me as I was sitting there going, oh, you know, in my mind that, oh, and let's plant apple trees. So for some reason, whatever was happening subliminally, today it was a very quiet and peaceful and restful. And yet, let's take care of each other and grow some apples.
Grow some apples. I love the idea of apple trees being planted everywhere on streets in urban places. It's a great idea.
Yeah, what I thought was that poem was about, in order to honor those who are no longer living, we really need to ratchet up our level of living, is what
Absolutely.
I took from it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the work that I've been doing with people who are, you know, families who have just lost someone is about really, really valuing the time that we do have together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's hard to get too much of that.
And I would just say for the listeners out there taking the heart of Carol's poem and our discussion today, that Local Talk this week gave us lots of ways that we can embrace life in our community. There's great parks that we can go, and sounds like we've got great weather. Pat started us off with a forecast that sounds quite lovely, so there's no excuse to stay inside. Or we can drink some hot cocoa if we want to. And lots of things to do and aims to be able to embrace life and connect with each other. Carol, I introduced Carol again in Ames all the way to the new bookstore, Dog-Eared Books. That's just around the corner from the KHOI radio station. And so I think you can go and read a book or go browse the bookstore if you want to as well. So lots of things to do to make us feel alive and embrace this world that we live in and connect with people that we love and care about. And maybe the people we don't care about so much, but we can at least say a friendly hello.
Absolutely, Anna.
Is my heart-to-heart message, Pat. So going back to you, and again, it is time for Anna Banana to split, but loving you bunches and wishing everybody a great weekend.
And you, Anna Banana.
Yeah. Thank you, Carol Pluckrose and Anna Banana. Thank you so much for another welcome installment of KHOY's Heart-to-Heart Messages. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday at khoifm.org and also 89.1 FM. And remember to support this station financially when you go to the website, khoifm.org, and find that yellow donate button. Thank you, Local Talk producers Ursula Rundberg and Lynn Carey. And thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. And thanks to our guests, Chris Atkins, Katie Barrios-Lane, and this is Pat Schlarbaum and the effervescent Anna Magnuson. Can you please take us out?
Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard was Chautauqua Dawn, I hope I said that right, by Big Blue Sky. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Again, a thank you to Carol Pluckrose for joining us this morning. And remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. So thank you for listening and
see you again
on the radio.